Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope. And for this week's edition, the fourth Sunday in this Lenten season of 2021, this edition of Word Made Flesh, we're at our men's ministry. And so around the table this morning, we have some of our men from that program and its leadership. So welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Excellent day.
Okay. Following suit on the Lenten reflection on Word Made Flesh, this being the fourth Sunday of Lent, we've opted to look at the Gospel reading from the lectionary for this fourth Sunday of Lent. And that comes from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. So, Tim, you want to go ahead and read that?
Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life for him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to have the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so they may be seen plainly that they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, initial responses, comments, reflections, questions. What jumps out at you?
I think at the end is kind of where a lot of people struggle with, right? Is where they're talking about, we don't come out of the light, we don't come out of the darkness because we don't want to be exposed. But they're talking about it's okay to come out of the darkness and to allow your truths to be on the table, to be seen. But we're not going to condemn you for that because you chose to make that step.
Which is a step we all have to make at some point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that if you come into the light,
yeah.
And in this context, you know, the light meaning you're going to profess and confess, you know, Jesus as the Son of God. Taking a little risk, but you got to come out of the darkness into that light.
Right.
In that sense, there's no judgment. Should we choose to stay in the darkness, in a sense, we've judged ourselves, right? The judgment's already fallen. Kind of has a little free will component to it. But I kind of had to do there.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing, right? I mean, one reason we probably don't come out of that darkness is out of fear, right? Like, it's out of fear of the unknown of what's going to happen, you know? Because we already know why we live in this, what's going on. We know how to somewhat protect. We feel like we're protecting ourselves, you know? Or we already know that people judge us in this sense. But if we come out, like, how are people going to perceive that?
Right.
And that's what we're scared of. We're scared of the perception, because how about if I come out and there isn't anybody hugging us, right, with open arms, you know? Or how about if I come out and people are throwing stones at me? And I think this is where he's talking, like, you know, we know the message of Christ and God. It's really talking, you know, they're open hand. They're going to be open with their arms. And so we don't need to fear anybody else's judgment on us. We just got to embrace his love.
Good, good. Yeah, and oftentimes we're fearful because we know what it's going to cost us to come out into the light.
Yeah.
And cost may mean yeah, the exposure, but at the same time, I got to give up a bunch of stuff. And in all honesty, I kind of like some of the things in my dark world.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But let's just be honest. You know, I like having my cake and eat it too type of thing. And I really, if I'm ruthlessly honest, I just don't want to give that up.
Yeah, darkness isn't cut and dry. Like, there isn't, like, there's many forms of the darkness.
Right, right,
and,
yeah.
And, like, from different people, it's just, you know, keeping your, who you are, your identity a secret in life, you know, and who you love. That's a part of the darkness. It's part of darkness be crimes or things you committed in your life, you know, adultery, things like that. Or it could be your love for, you know, objects that don't have any meaning. You put, you know, houses and cars in front of people and loved ones.
Yeah, and we think about our forms of idolatry.
Yeah.
Right? And there are, you're right, power, money, prestige, etc. All those types of things. In this context, in this pericope, it really is. You're either with me, Jesus, or you're not.
Yeah.
If you're going to be with me, you got to come out of the darkness. All right? You're setting yourself up for condemnation. I think it's fascinating. Did you have something you wanted to say there, John?
I kind of looked at it as the darkness. Speaking from experience, you know, when I lived in darkness, it was just about me. I couldn't see. You know, there was no light, so I didn't have to worry about anything else. It was just me, and it was self-centeredness, you know, and it was the desires of the sinful nature, you know, that we're kind of instilled with, and that society is, you know, projects on us with the money and the fame and the power, and you got to have this and you got to have that, and you know, so it was just all about me. So, but when the light was turned on, I saw everybody else. Hey, there's other people in this world, you know, and it just makes you accountable, you know, first of all, and then everybody can see what you're doing. So,
right, right.
Yeah, and...
Well, I mean, you know, John flat out writes, you know, we loved our darkness.
Mm-hmm.
People love the darkness, right? And all the deeds that go with it. I was going to say, I think that latter part of this pericope accentuates the earlier line John puts in there. And for our listening audience, we want to recall that for John, when he refers to eternal life, right? And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And there... For John, eternal life is in the present. For John, it's not exclusively an afterlife. And so part of coming out of the darkness into the light of professing Jesus as Son of God, all right, is something we do in the present. It's not something we wait for till after death. And so the invitation to come out is a present invitation. The existence of those in darkness is an expression of the present reality. The recognition of those who do believe in Jesus as the Son of Man is a present reality. So all the verses following that accentuate John's position of understanding eternal life as being in the present. It's what a renowned author and... theologian Henry Nouwen once said, you know, it's the eternal now. You know, the eternal doesn't start like after we die. It's just a perpetuation, right? It's just we move on to it's a transition into another component of the eternal life. And so we say we're in it now. It's the eternal now. I think for the Lenten season then, you know, that's a challenge to our own discipleship. You know, how well are we participating in the eternal life as part of the eternal now, in the present day? Right? That's part of what Lent is for, right? Preparing ourselves. How well, what parts of our lives are still in the darkness?
Right? Do we have parts of our life that we're keeping in the darkness? Are we fully in the light? Do we have one foot in the light and one foot in the darkness? what are we doing in the eternal now, in our present daily lives? Any thoughts, reflections, comments on that insight?
Well, I think having good, healthy relationships with people helps. Having a healthy relationship with God, with Jesus, communicating with Him. And at the same time, with like-minded people that think the same way, that live in the light, you know, it's like you are who you hang with. I mean, if you're around other people that believe the same thing, they're going to keep you accountable. They're going to keep you in the light. They're going to help keep you in the light. And I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about God and His will for us, is He wants us. It actually, you know, the fear of coming out of the darkness is just a lie from the devil. You know, because once you do that, the fear goes away. I mean, it might be a struggle. You might have to go through a storm to deal with all that fear and whatever you've been living with. But once you get through that, then the fear is gone, and you know, you can you can live life by truth and freedom.
Yeah, in here we typically on an annual basis study Brennan Manning's book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. And chapter 8 in that book always resonates with me, because Brennan proposes that what we're looking for, freedom, right, is the ultimate goal for them. We want to be free. But what hinders that freedom is fear. And so what Jesus brings to us as ragamuffins, you know, those of us whose cheese have fallen off our crackers, brings us the empowerment to find freedom from fear. All right? When perfect love casts out all fear, that's exactly what love is. It's the opposite of fear. Right? Not like hate. It's the opposite of fear. Ask any child. They're feeling loved by their parents. They're less fearful. Right? It goes all kinds of directions there. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Participating in the reality, right? The transformative reality of freedom in the eternal now, the present moment, is precisely what eliminates our fear. Right? Isn't it what prepares me, right, of saying, if today is the day I die, I'm good. Right? I don't fear the condemnation. Right? Why? Because I lived it here and now. I'm not free when I get to heaven. My freedom continues in an afterlife.
Well, I mean,
and that is what the gospel say. That's what comes through Jesus the Christ, the Son of God.
Amen. And I think too, like it was like what verse 21. I mean, it really puts it out there too. I mean, if you understand, it's the lives, you know. But whoever lives by, it's not talking about whoever will live
right,
by. It's talking
right.
about who right now lives by.
Who is living by? Yes.
So it's talking about the action of today. And I think that's where, you know, answer your question is, I think that's the beauty of it. It's, am I living that way? Am I putting into action to live that way? It doesn't mean I'm going to have it right, because there's going to be that struggle
sure.
of that going in and out of the darkness at times, because, one, we're human.
Right.
And there's a lot of distractions in this world. And we're battling a marketing world in some ways, a world that's marketed around my fears, a world that's marketed around my desires. And so like there's always going to be that struggle to continue to be on the right path.
Yeah.
And we're all on a different level. We all have this battle between lightness and darkness in our journey with Christ.
It is a process.
Yeah, you know, when the Really, the tempter comes in the form of consumerism.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of voices out there, and in a consumeristic marketplace, you know, that voice screams loudly, "Buy me."
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You'll be a better person if you smell like this. You'll be a better person if you wear these clothes. You'll be a better person if you drive this car. You'll be a better person if you, right? You go on and on.
Yeah.
And so it is, we are easily tempted to forget our deepest and truest identity. That's what Lent's for. You know, how well, let's assess how well we're doing that. Let's get back on track as we anticipate, right? The transformative resurrection in our own lives as we look forward to the resurrection of Christ.
Very easy to justify.
Yeah.
Desires too.
It is. We are masterfully skilled at that endeavor. Yeah. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.